Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 43 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford. Hi, Sean.
Hi. What I don't understand is, why does you saying that always make me laugh?
Yeah.
Because I don't know what it is.
Just a little chuckle this time. Yeah. Usually you're in hysterics at this point.
It's because you sound so serious.
I'm a serious
guy. You sound
guy.
Really professional.
Flipping heck, I am. I know what I'm talking about. Fully qualified. Yeah, this is everyone's favourite self-help show. We're here to help people through their problems. This week we're talking about separation, divorce, the issues that can arise and how to get over those the tricky obstacles that sometimes...
Maybe trying to avoid them too.
Yeah, avoid them completely.
Yeah, maybe. Don't get married.
Don't get married. Don't ever leave the house.
Don't have a relationship.
Yeah. That's coming later. First up, let's just say what we've been up to, because you've had a good week, little week, Sean.
Week's always good. I want to do a shout out for my lovely friend Tula, who's had a few medical issues this week, which I don't need to go into, but I know she'll listen to this, and I just want to say hang in there, Tula, because she's an amazingly brave lady and she's dealing with some really difficult stuff but doing it really, really well, because she lives in the very stuff that we talk about here. Live in the present, be positive and focus on what you got, and she's a great lady.
Go Tula.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, I saw.
The other thing I want to shout out for is that on May the 4th, it will be, I will be running a 10K, because I'm getting pretty good at this running stuff now, for the Cancer Trust here, which is the Clatterbridge Centre for Cancer.
Yeah.
Clatterbridge Cancer Centre. Keep changing the name. And I'm going to be doing what's the page called?
It's Just Giving.
A Just Giving page, that's it, yeah. So everyone that's listening to this, when it goes up, it would be really lovely if you could contribute some money. What I'm trying to do is to raise money for the team that provides psychological support for people that have cancer and their relatives. And it's a team that really needs boosting, because although it's very important, it's been the last thing that's been put into oncology services. Mm-hmm. And it's still in the growing phase.
Yep.
So it would be lovely to be able to get more support in there for people. So I'm going to do a suggestion that maybe people could contribute like £1 per kilometre, like if I do 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Or their equivalent currency review. Anything that you could chuck in the hat would be really, really good.
Yep.
So I will keep on your cases about it over the next month.
Are you going to go do it dressed as a Star Wars character?
I'll do it naked if you want me to. If you're going to pay £2 a kilometre, I'll do it in a thong.
May the 4th be with you, just in case I didn't get that a little reference there. Yeah. A thong, I just got that, oh my gosh. What a sight.
A Greek god.
I've had a cool week too. The one thing that struck me this week, it's been all over Facebook, has been this whole no makeup selfie thing, huh?
Yeah.
Ladies across the UK bearing all for and donating a few quid to cancer research, I think, is it?
Yeah. But the amount of people that have been onto that. Mm. It was because of the lady who's local to here that had the cervical cancer.
Yeah, the young girl.
They did raise an amazing amount of money.
Huge boost.
£2.5 million, something like that, over a 24-hour period, which is incredible. You know, and it is really, really helpful for the services. It is amazing.
Oh yeah.
The thing that made me laugh really was the amount of energy that it raised. It raised money, but it raised lots of energy too. People were arguing like crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's quite interesting seeing all these lovely ladies without their get up on. And some doing it, obviously, it's not a big deal, and for others, it's obviously quite a huge issue. So I don't know, man. I mean, we did an episode months ago about why do we change ourselves and what have you.
And
I mean, I heard reports of one girl that I know who apparently spends 2 hours each morning putting her face on.
Wow.
And that's unbelievable, man. All that time a week that you could get back just by not bothering.
Yeah.
I know it's easier said than done, right? But
I think that whole idea about having to put your face on, it's almost like hiding behind a mask.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Exactly because, what it is.
Yeah, it's like... What does the person look like in reality? There used to be a folk song when I used to go out with the guitar and play music out there in folk clubs and things. And there'd always be someone that would sing a song, which was about this guy, I think he's a sailor, and he picks a woman up in a pub. and takes her upstairs to have his wicked way with her. And by the time she's taken off her false leg and taken out her eye and taken her wig off and all that kind of stuff, there's more of her on the chair than there is in the bed. You know? and one of the things has to be, doesn't it, that if someone has his face is very made up and they're masked, what do they look like first thing in the morning? When you turn over on the pillow and you see this person, it's like, who the hell are you? Yep. You're not the person I went to bed with. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Well, we're talking about relationships. I think in some relationships... The female partner, because they tend to be the ones wearing makeup, aren't even willing to let their husbands see them without makeup. Yeah. That's not the case in my relationship, you know. I like Bethan without makeup. I think she looks more like Bethan. But flip it, if you're doing that in the morning, not even letting your husband see you without your face on, that's not real. That's
it's not like healthy. it's not facing up to yourself.
No,
What do you think about all the guys that, in their response, have started doing selfies with all makeup on and wigs?
Well, I've already seen one of those. I was tagged and asked to do it, but I haven't as of yet.
You're chicken.
Yeah, my son did it because my son actually likes playing with Bethan's makeup and we'll find him sometimes with cake all over his face. So he did it on my behalf. But I think trying to raise a bit more money. I'm not doing it. But it's been interesting that week. And apart from that, what else? Oh yeah, I've been watching The Godfather. I'm a bit of a film buff, I like to think I am. I've never seen The Godfather.
Is that the whole series?
So I'm working my way through, because they're quite epic movies.
I think I saw the first one, but I haven't seen the others.
Yeah, Don Corleone.
Yeah, perhaps you'll have to lend them to me.
Yeah, they're stunning films, but they're quite epic. I'm working my way a bit through, little by little. Should we move on to our topic of the week, Sean?
Yes.
We're only bleated on there for 6 minutes before we get to the topic, but
we're good bleaters.
You can bleat a lot about separation and divorce. Separation, because you deal with a lot of couples, don't you?
Loads. Probably about 20% of my any week would be allocated to working with couples. Some couples do come along because they want to make a positive ending. Maybe they've got kids and money issues to sort out. And they will want to negotiate things, which is kind of like mediation sometimes.
So you're a lawyer as well in your part-time?
I'll do anything. My boy, Del boy. Some people, that they want to do a positive ending. And although some people have that intention, it's quite difficult for that to become a reality. Because even when people do positively start out on this process of ending and they want to be friends and they want to do it just right, when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of splitting things up, people do start to get pretty attached.
Yep.
And then get energetic about the detachment from the things that they wanted. And that may be not just practical things and physical things, it may actually be images and ideas. You know, some people... When they get divorced, a woman will never give up her name.
Yep.
Her married name will always keep a ring on and that kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Because they want to maintain that status, and that can be one attachment to holding. But the other thing that I get loads and loads and loads is men, when they get divorced, think they're going to get 50% of stuff, and they don't. What happens is they get about a 60-40 split. So that the woman and the children get 60%, and the man will get 40%. But I have seen it as extreme, as I've actually been in court with a man who thought he was going to get 50%, and the judge ordered him 25% and 75% to the rest of the family.
You used the word extreme there, but some people might not agree. This guy, no names mentioned, obviously he had 5 or 6 kids, did you say?
Yeah. Yes, there was a lot of kids.
So 5 kids, there's a missus, and there's him, that's 6 people.
He did have a lot of money, so there was money to go around.
Fair dues.
Yeah, but 25% of a lot is good, 25% of not a lot is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the problems for men in divorcing situations or separating situations is very often the woman ends up in the family home with the kids, and the man is living in a bedsit or whatever and paying his maintenance, which can be 25% of his net income each month into this family. And then the woman maybe gets together with another guy and there's another man living in what he sees as his house with his children, and he's still paying 25% of his income to support this new family unit. And then if he tries to start a family unit of his own, he actually doesn't have the resources to do it.
Yeah.
So it can be very, very difficult for men in that situation. And I'm not talking here about the morals of right and wrong. I'm just saying that on a practical level, it can be hugely, hugely difficult.
Yeah.
And guys, I do meet a lot of guys in that situation who are very depressed and having a lot of problems.
Well, there are lies, damn lies and statistics, aren't there? But the stats on divorce are relatively interesting and worth us mentioning.
Yeah, yeah.
Were we talking, was it 40% of marriages will...
42
will end in divorce.
Yeah, and that's down from 50%. It was up at 50%.
Okay.
In the... a few years ago. So it is on its way down. But interestingly, if you look at the stats, people in their over 60s, I love this, people in over 60s, the rate is going up, whilst in the rest of the population, the divorce rate is going down.
Yep.
Which means that there's been a huge change over the last 20, 30 years. Part of it is about women are more financially independent, because a lot of the divorce stuff that we look at is the woman who's the motivator for the end of the relationship rather than the man. It's the woman who's had enough.
This is motivator.
Yeah. But you end up in a situation where people get divorced and maybe they've been avoiding each other all their married life. They've been out of work. They see each other for weekends or bits of weekends because it's full of family and maybe grandchildren and whatever.
Yep.
And suddenly they're in a situation where 24 hours a day they're stuck with this person. Mm. And they end up looking across the breakfast table and thinking, I don't want to stay here for another 20, 30 years, looking at you. So we're getting this huge spike in divorce rates, which have doubled over the last 10 or so years.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. I've got a distant family member who, their husband and wife, heading towards retirement, and this... the male side of it is he works 3 weeks away from home and then he's back for a few weeks. And he's been doing this for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So I think they really like the setup because they get 3 weeks of cool little bit of time together. They do their thing, they have little trips and that. And then they get 3 weeks apart and they get to, what they want.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
They've obviously got super used to that. And I think they're a bit, they're not separated. And I don't think they will because they're a solid unit. I think they're a little bit apprehensive about how it's going to be now that they're going to be 24/7.
It's a real issue. I mean, one of the things that that we need to be aware of is that the statistics that are available are only for those people that officially get married.
Yeah.
And the majority of people are now not getting married. So statistically, 47.5% of children last year were born in relationships where no marriage existed, and it's reckoned that by 2016 the majority of children in Britain will be born to families that aren't married. Whether you see that as right, wrong, good, bad, it's I guess it's neither here nor there. You could say that going through a marriage ceremony creates a commitment that people are more likely to stay together, but if you look at divorce rates, maybe that's not true.
I think marriage is a wonderful institution, but who wants to live in an institution? Good old Groucho Marx there. I don't want to bang on too much about the married side of things, because separation in general is just an issue. Yeah, you don't need to be married to make a commitment, do you? You get maybe the odd.
I deal quite a lot with gay couples, both men and women, who haven't gone through any kind of ceremony to acknowledge they're together. Maybe they've been together forever. And when it comes to... and this is a very important factor for everybody, which is about making sure that you have your will done.
Yes.
Because I deal a lot with this. But particularly with gay couples, where it turns out that the next of kin and the person that has a right to all the property and the money out of the relationship isn't the partner. The partner could have been... they could have been together for 40, 50, 60 years. But they have no legal right to any of the property or the money or the pensions or anything like that. So they can end up being homeless, unless the family who do inherit, because they're the next of kin, have some level of moral sensitivity and make sure they're looked after. They can be dumped. They can be end up in terrible states, and I've seen that.
Yeah.
Which means that all of us must have our wills up to date, to make sure these things don't happen. Is your will up to date?
Is it? Heck. No.
Mine needs to be redone.
Okay.
Maybe we need to have that.
Cut me into it, basically.
Yeah. No, I was thinking of you cutting me into
it. Yeah.
Maybe that's something that you and I need to commit to here. You know, we need to get it, because I mean, you've got William to look after.
I need a will for will.
Yeah, a will for will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, and we forget about it. And it is okay if people know that they're going to die because they've got some kind of illness, and they start to prepare for it, and they do it then. But very often it's too late. You know, someone has. I've got another case I can think of. This has happened to me several times actually, where there's been a sudden death for some, you know, one reason or another, and the person that they're with, although long-term relationship, never ever thought that the person's going to die because they're so young. But again, you know, people have lost houses,
sure,
and been stuck with children that they can't afford to support, and all the wealth that would have been theirs to support them has gone to the other family.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, another distant family member passed away recently, and I think it got a bit messy because he'd been in another relationship towards the end of his life, and didn't have a will in place. Frantically tried to sort it out before, like days before he ended up dying. But now there's kind of arguments going on because it's like, oh well, he wasn't in a fit state to write this will. It doesn't apply and all that. So and he's gone now, but he's got off lightly. Yeah, the whole will thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's very, very important, and especially if you're not married, mm-hmm. or if you're in a same-sex relationship. Which may be at odds with the other family as well, because they may not support you.
Sure.
Which I've seen happen, yeah.
We had a timely little separation last night, didn't we? Just before I went to bed, I saw breaking news about Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, Coldplay, who have separated after, I think they've been going 10 years, to be fair, which in Hollywood terms isn't too bad.
Do they have children?
Yeah, they've got two kids.
Yeah.
So I think it's been quite a PR-friendly divorce separation, because she posted it to her blog. It sounds like it's been fairly amicable, which is cool. I mean, imagining to be, I mean, you do see a lot of high profile relationships going belly up, don't you?
Yeah,
but they'll obviously be around the world doing different things, barely seeing each other, who knows. But it was quite a short blog post by Gwyneth announcing it, but quite interestingly underneath that there was a much longer article by a couple of doctors, therapists, I assume, that she's either been working with or she knows, talking about separation, which is quite timely for us. So thanks, Gwyneth. but one of the main things that I picked up on early on in that post was that, you know, over the course of human history, you know, I think it was 50,000 BC to kind of almost 1900 AD, humans were only living average kind of 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're middle-aged at 17.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And you know, in 1900, marriage was on the scene big time, you know. Mm. But since 1900, life expectancy has gone up. Well, it's doubled, easy.
Easy, yeah. But we're talking 1 in 4 people in Britain now will live to over 100.
Right. Yeah. I'm fully intending to see that through. I'm going for 200.
You go for 2.
Yeah.
You old bugger.
I need to ease off the sugar first, correct? but yeah, we're living a lot longer, and we're having to spend a lot more time with our life partners, aren't we? Which is that's a big deal.
The big things that are predicted by the social psychologists are that people will not be able to do one job for this huge period of time. That people will have two or maybe three careers in their lifetime, and we have to get kids used to that idea when they're younger.
Yes,
so that they're starting to get a proper career progression. What they're going to do over time?
Just got to keep learning. That's what we say, don't.
But on top of that is the idea that you found when you were looking through stuff, where people will probably have two or three meaningful relationships in their life.
Yeah.
As well. Which means
that was part of the article. Yeah.
Yeah, but does that mean that we end up with like almost like planned separation? We now have an expectation that this relationship is going to be good for 20 years.
Should we limit? Maybe there should be a legal limit, 20 years for all.
And it'd be like musical chairs. Yeah, we'll all move around one. Yeah. Yeah. Or like the speed dating. You know?
Yeah.
But that idea that. That if people are going to have several relationships in a lifetime, you know, maybe if it's two, I mean, hopefully people would have an amazing time and stay together. But the thing is, if that's going to happen, we have to get better at the idea of being able to let go of negative emotion.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that we're not good at.
Uh-huh.
And particularly up this end of the world, as we become more logical, we're not good at dealing with emotions.
Mm.
Yeah. So the idea of if we are going to go through separating situations, we need to work out in advance. We need to have some kind of cultural shift that allows us to deal with this on a more amicable basis.
In any separation, will it be usually be the case that one side is more prepared to for it than the other side?
Well, one of the things is, I just start to get controversial here.
Yes.
Yeah. The relationships that I deal in, it's usually the woman who brings a man into the consulting room. You know, the woman will ring. The woman will say, "We have problems."
Mm-hmm.
And she will drag this man in, and very often it is like he's being dragged in. And he sits there looking grumpy and miserable, and I have to address the issue of, "Okay, Mr. Man, why are you here? Why are you grumpy? What's this? What's going on? What's it about?" And it, what tends to transpire is that it's usually the woman who is discontented. It's usually the woman that's prepared to change and move and develop, and it's usually the man who's fixed and stuck and is being the problem. Yeah. Now, on the face of it, that would appear like the man is the problematic issue and the woman is the one who's prepared to be flexible and move and bend, which I could say is true with the majority of couples that I work with.
Yeah.
Right? There's a but on that. Sorry, ladies.
It's a big bust.
I do love you, honestly. In the same way that I could say to you that as a population, we have the government that we deserve because we elect them and we allow them to govern us. You know, we have the policemen we deserve, we have the politicians we deserve, we have the managers we deserve, you know, because we allow it to happen. Yeah.
Yep.
If you start to look at the relationship between men and women, let me just give you the Jewish example. Yeah, is that in a relationship, if the mother is Jewish and the father is a Gentile, as far as the Jews are concerned, the children are Jewish because they identify that the basic values in a societal relationship are passed on by the mother.
Okay.
Yeah, if the father's Jewish and the mother's a Gentile, then as far as they're concerned, the children are not Jewish because they haven't had that passed on to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the things that I see with women a lot therapeutically is that women will complain to me about their menfolk. They would say to me about how insensitive they are or how lazy they are and all that kind of stuff. And I see the same kind of principle applying in the sense that women get the kind of men that they deserve because women bring the men up. Now, I could give you a million examples. I've said this before on air, but it's a true example.
Mm-hmm.
Of going round to someone's house, a woman who has complained continually about how lazy her husband is and how he does nothing and contributes nothing in the house. I go round there, it's a Sunday, I have to drop something off. Yeah?
Sure.
And what I see is that the boy child is on the sofa with the father watching the football, and the girl child is in the kitchen with the mother producing the Sunday lunch, which it looks like kind of happy families going on. But what's happening is that the subtext is that the girl child in the kitchen is learning that the women have to do the work whilst the men can sit on the sofa and watch the telly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that the boy child the boy child is learning that you just let the women get on with it whilst you, yeah. And then what happens is that boy child then goes off into a relationship where the wife's thinking, you know, why are you so lazy? Why don't you contribute to this relationship? And it's because this cultural norm gets passed on.
Yeah.
And if men are going to change and men are going to become more sensitive over time, it's going to be the women that do it because the women have to pass on those values to the man. Yeah, now, there are men that are buggers and there are men that are violent. I'm not saying any of that. That's true. Yeah, but it's like in any society, the amount of people who are problematic is actually quite a small percentage, mm-hmm. but they hit a lot of headlines, so yeah. it seems like it's a big deal.
That's guys like me and you don't get...
We don't get mentioned, yeah. But but that's the majority of people. The majority of people are quite kind of nice, regular, everyday, ordinary, having a good time kind of people.
Yep.
Yeah, and those are the people that we need to affect. So that if we collectively as a society are going to change the way that men are, and men are with children the way men are with women, it's the mothers that are going to have to do it.
Sure.
Else it's not going to happen. Yeah? And it's no good the women of the world looking at men and saying, you need to change, because they're an active component in creating the men's attitudes in the first place.
Mm.
Yeah? And I apologise for that to all the ladies that might be jumping up and down and screaming at the...
Their plates being smashed.
Right, at the moment. But look at it. Look at what's going on around you as a woman. You know, how are you treating your boy children? Is it different to the way you treat your girl children? And look around you. What's happening in the rest of your society? How are the boys being treated relative to the girls?
Yep.
Because it is different in most situations.
Sure. Well, we are different, are we? But yeah. Be the change you want to see, not in the world and all that.
Yeah.
What's the quote?
Yeah. That one. I have to find it and stick in those. Yeah. I mean, my mother, who was a little fiery woman, was very clear. I had three sisters, and we were brought up equally, so that when we learned to sew, when we learned to knit, when we learned to cook, and my mother couldn't cook to save her life, we were all taught it at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we were all included equally together. Now, I'm not saying that makes me some kind of new man, because I'm sure Reed would tell you there's lots of areas in life where I'm not. Yeah. But it's that thing about how participant are we in the world. You know, do we get on and do the stuff that needs to be done, or do we sit there waiting for the woman to do it?
Yeah.
You know, the woman gives you a cup of tea, and you go, oh, my God, how dare you give me this? I haven't even stirred it. You know?
Okay, well, let's say you've got a couple. In what kind of percentage, or it might not even be easy to say that, but when you're dealing with couple therapy, how often do you realise that it's, you know, you need to be working towards these people going this
separate
way?
Or an ending. It's probably about 20-25% are going towards an ending. By the time they've hit the therapy sessions, they're...
Do you just let them decide that, or do you kind of find that you need to kind of step in?
Well, there have been times when I've had to say to couples, what is it that you're doing together? What are you doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on? You're making people face that. And one of the questions I always ask a couple when they come together, I always say to each of them individually in the room, what is it that you want to get out of this?
Yeah.
You know, what's your end point? What's your end game? Where are you going with this?
Mm-hmm.
And some people will say, no, I want to make this work, I want to solve this. Some people will be very clear about this doesn't work and we need to work out, you know, if we can't make it work, how are we going to end it? And some people are there on the basis of, well, I've come here to see what we can do. You know, they're open
yep.
about it. So you get that kind of variation.
Okay.
Yeah. Very often the woman has dragged the man to therapy because the woman wants to make it work. And whether that is because there's a love issue involved, which is very real, or whether it's because there are children and a house and a mortgage, and that the woman knows that she has to support this family.
How do you coax information out of the guys, or if it's the woman sitting there that doesn't want to be there, man? Is they sitting in there cutting in the corner, just kind of not looking you in the eye? And
well, what I tend to do is we'll have a session or maybe two as a couple, and then very often I'll have a couple of individual sessions.
Yeah.
And that gives an individual a chance to say things that maybe they would be anxious to say in front of their partner.
Okay.
So that can be good because you're starting to get down to the nuts and bolts of things.
Yeah.
You know. The issue about is it possible to get a couple to the point where they can separate positively is the answer would have to be yes, you can. But the chances of it happening are really quite low.
Mm-hmm.
And most people that even start off from the point of, you know, we're going to be friends, you know, for the children, we're going to be fair about the money, very often 3 months into that process of ripping each other's throats out.
Yeah.
You know, And you do get the odd couple that can do it. And I think that's the kind of point, that if we're going to move towards a societal model that you were describing, where maybe we're going to have two or three mainline relationships, we have to, as a society and as individuals, get used to the idea of how do we deal with endings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My results, which I'll come back to at the end, is a book by Bowlby. And Bowlby is the guy that's responsible for attachment theory. And he looks at how when we're children, how we learn to attach to initially the primary caregivers, mother and father, and then the rest of the world around us, and whether people have secure attachments, angry attachments, anxious attachments, whatever they are, because they then get played out in relationships later on. But primarily, the first point when you look at attachments is when it comes to separation. Because if a child was anxiously attached to their parents, when it comes to separating later on, either because someone's died, it could be the parent that's died, or a partner that's died, or it could be divorce,
yeah,
that they approach that with huge anxiety or huge anger or whatever, because their attachment learning when they're younger is a bit damaged.
Right.
And that it's really important to look at, and the reason why I've put the resource up is that if you look at your own attachments and how you're attached to things around you, and you understand a bit of Bowlby's theory, because he did some good work, John Bowlby.
Go, Bowlby.
Yeah, then you can start to look at how you're dealing with your relationship. You know, are you kind of clingy? Are you overbearing? Are you diffident? Do you stand back? And it's to do with how have you learned to attach to other people? Because that could either make your relationship better and make it last longer if you understood your own emotional sort of subtext, or if you were going to split, it could make that easier too, because you're understanding what's going on inside you.
Look to the relationship with your mother, eh? For her up to, yeah. Eh?
Yeah. Well, in psychospeak, we'd say that the mother usually is the primary caregiver, she's number one, and father is the secondary caregiver, and they're they're the most influential people,
yeah,
in your world. Yeah.
Okay, I'm number two.
You'll do.
Yeah. Blimey. How was that stopped? Bit of a jump there. What happened there? Okay. Be fine. Okay. Self-help tips, Sean. What are the basics of what we've just covered then?
I reckon there's a couple of things that I want to say, which again could be a bit kind of up your nose for some people, is that most people get together too quickly. Most people, you know, get together, jump into bed, have kids, do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line realities are that when you start a relationship with another person, that they will be in what we would call the honeymoon period, lasts usually about 2 years, when people are on their best behaviour. And it's only after the first couple of years that you start to really see the person for how they really are. You know, and then, sure, then the scales fall from your eyes, and you suddenly have this awareness of what the person is.
You see them without makeup.
Yeah. See me without makeup, terrible. One of the things is that the way society used to work is people had long engagements.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave them a chance to try things out, you know, try before you buy.
Yeah.
Now we're in the situation of you buy and then you realise that you didn't try it.
Yeah, but a lot of my generation, or my pals, and we tended to live together before we got married, you know, and that was frowned upon by certain, you know, because, you know, I go to a church, obviously, most weeks, and I think for some of the older congregation, it was kind of a bit kind of, oh, what's going on here? They're living together before they got married, like, I mean, yeah, 2000, whatever it was, 2007.
Yep.
Get with it, chaps.
Yeah.
And it's probably a healthy thing to do, isn't it? You live together for 4 years before you, yeah, tie the knot. We had a blooming mortgage, which is even more of a tie than a marriage, really, to be honest. But
yeah.
Live with
it. If you go back, we did a couple of sessions ago talking about arranged marriages. And so if your introduction to your future life partner is maybe an hour, and that's all that you see of that person, if that.
Yeah.
Before you get married. What happens is that if the first time that you actually see your wife is when the veil is lifted after you've been married.
Phew.
Yeah? And you've never seen her before, you do it from a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's going to be tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, all those issues about how we get to the relationship in the first place have to be fundamental. We're looking at the end of the relationship, but if the other end was working right, then maybe the other end wouldn't be happening so difficult in such a difficult way.
That's a good point, Sean.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So maybe you and I need to start some kind of matchmaking service. Forget all this online stuff. Mm. Maybe people should come and be interviewed by us, and we'll partner them up.
And we'll pass our judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You two will work. That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's no money back guarantees.
Yeah. Gee whiz. Yeah. Yeah. Make sure they sign a disclaimer. Resource of the week.
Well, it's Bowlby. It's Bowlby. I put the Bowlby book down, and it's worth understanding your own attachment issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the nature of your attachment, A, to your parents, and secondly, how's that affected the attachments that you have to your partner, your children, maybe even your work colleagues and friends, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because if you can understand it, if you do have damaged attachment issues, go and do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go and see a happy therapist and sort yourself out.
Cool.
Yeah, because it will make your life easier, but make everyone else's life easier around you too.
Bowlby, what a name.
Bowlby.
Bowlby Attachment Theory Makers. Okay, we'll put that in the link.
Yeah.
My resource, not really related to what we've talked about, but I've been wanting to fit this one in for a while because I use the app quite a lot now. It's a website too called Airbnb.com.
Airbnb.
A-I-R-B-N-B.
Right.
And it's just things taking the world of bed and breakfast, hiring, and kind of holidays by storm. Oh, right. So basically, it's people putting the house up for let for, you know, a few days or whatever all around the world. So you go on it, and it's just basically a place where you can look for places to stay when you're on holiday.
Well,
we're going to Italy in a few months, so I didn't really want to crash in a hotel and just be kind of limited to when breakfast is and all that. I wanted to stay in an apartment and see Italy properly, you know, mm-hmm. live it. So I went on Airbnb, and we're staying in someone's apartment for a 4 or 5 nights.
Isn't that like the holiday? The film The Holiday?
Yeah.
It's Christmas. They swap house.
Well, you can, while you're away, you can put your house on there too, and if you want to, and put it, make it available.
Yeah.
Which we're probably not going to bother. But it's kind of, yeah, it's one of these companies that's taking the world by storm. And
that's interesting.
Have a look at it. But anywhere you want to go, just locally. Snowdonia, there's some cool places for us in the Lake District.
Yeah,
have a look at it. But so if you're looking to get have some time away with your partner,
yeah,
and perhaps spend some more time with them than you used to, and put the relationship to a real test.
But maybe that's a good point, you know, to end this round. Yeah. Is that if you do spend more time with your partner, you know, maybe what you feed grows, what you starve dies. Maybe you've got a better chance of it lasting through.
Yeah,
you know?
True. So, yeah, maybe it is a relevant resource.
It is, yeah.
I'm so wise.
I thought so. Yeah, get people to go away and spend time together. I mean, I know it's that thing. I mean, Rhea and I are going to have a bit of time this weekend away.
Nice.
And I said last week, it's like that's really special for me because we're actually together.
Yeah. And you actually like being with her when you are together.
Yeah, yeah, which is quite amazing.
That bodes well.
Yeah, we might stay together.
Okay, next week we're going to talk about, you don't know this one, but we're going to talk about distraction and procrastination. So I had an email in from a listener who wants us to, says that her biggest obstacle is distraction in life. And yeah, I can relate to all that stuff because there is a lot of distraction in the world, isn't there?
Yeah.
From getting the work done.
Yeah, which means that we have to look at something which in my trade is known as displacement activity, which is what people are doing. Displacing the energy that they should be using to do things and finding a million other things to do with it.
Which there are, including going on Airbnb.com when you shouldn't. There you go. So that's next week. In the meantime, go to liveinthepresent.co.uk to get all the show notes from this week's episode, to download loads of cool free resources if you give us your email address. And we'll send you weekly podcast updates. So if you want to hear about this show first, put your email address in the website and we'll send you the details right to your inbox. Find us on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, and you can leave us a review on iTunes. We would be most grateful, wouldn't we, Sean?
We would.
And in the meantime, have a lovely week.
And you.
See you later, Sean.
Take care. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.